There he is.
That's what I'm talking about.
What you trying to get into? What damn shroom? What you trying to do?
Bad.
Listen, in the 5 minutes that you were late, I sang songs from The Music Man to everybody.
It was lovely.
Do you want to go with me to see Wolverine and Sutton Foster in The Music Man?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. What are you drinking? There? It looks like elephant semen.
It's a delicacy somewhere on this earth.
Does it not look like elephant semen? Dana, look.
I'm going to guess it looks like oat milk.
What is smoothie? Banana smoothie.
It's a banana smoothie.
It is a protein smoothie.
Yeah, there you go. Vanilla. Delicious.
It does have vanilla in it, but it also has a lot of super greens in it.
I can't get over how good you look in season 5 of this show.
I think it was the master cleanse.
Well, was it? Why do you look? I mean, obviously we're younger, but I'm not talking about age. I'm just talking about your face.
It was the master cleanse. I did the master cleanse that year. I remember.
Oh. Well, you look fine as fuck.
Like you wanted to fuck me?
No. You know that saying the kids say AF as fuck?
Yeah, but I used to say it as a kid. Right. But when you say fine as fuck, so what does as fuck mean though?
Well, fucking is nice, and I'm saying it's as good as a nice fuck. Anyway, sorry. Good morning, everybody. How are you, Adea Shun?
I'm well. How are you, Zach Braff?
Beautiful day in Southern California, huh?
It's warm. Live here. It's really it's getting hot.
Don't complain. You're a heat complainer.
I'm not a heat complainer.
I tried to plan a paintball birthday party for you, and your wife said you negged it because of the heat. That's so lame.
Do you know... Daniel, please back me up and tell
Daniel,
this.
Daniel, do not back him up.
Daniel,
you would have been invited. How much fun would a paintball birthday party be for Donald?
It would be very fun.
It's back on then, fine, okay? Are you happy?
Yes.
It's back on.
That was too easy. Your wife said Donald said.
I want Ninja to record it, though.
Okay, we'll hire a videographer.
I mean, that sounds even more fun.
Yeah, that's your birthday present. Casey can pay for the paintball birthday party, and I'll pay for the videographer to document. And I'll say your only mission is to make Donald look like a badass and cut a video.
Yes.
You want that?
Fuck yeah, but not just that.
You know what Casey said to me? She goes, first of all, he says it's too hot. Second of all, you know he's going to go out and spend like $5,000 on shit we don't need.
Sounds about right.
That is my wife. She knows me well.
She's funny. She was like, I don't want him to go. Now he's going to say yes, and then he's going to go buy all these machine guns and paintball armor. That's so you, though, dude. You're like, once you commit, you're like going to go get suited up.
We're going all the way. We're going all the way.
Dude, that's actually a funny present, right? I hire a videographer, and I say, look, your assignment is you need to cut like a two-minute video cut to Donald's favorite rap music of him looking like a badass on the paintball field.
That's a great birthday gift. You know how long I watched that for?
You would just watch it on a loop.
Oh, my God.
I could even have him cut it to Star Wars music if you want.
Nah, Avengers, man.
All right, I'm going to call Ninja.
Speaking of Avengers and all of that stuff, I do love me some superhero shows, man. I can't get over it. I love it all.
Really? Loki? You watching Loki?
I am watching Loki. Dude, I watch Legends of Tomorrow. Do you watch that?
No.
See? I watch it all. I watch it all.
I haven't watched Loki yet. Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
It's probably the best written of the Marvel shows so far, in my
opinion. It's a lot of talking, so you might like it.
I might like it because I was with my nephew, as you know, Donald, and you guys were geeking out about Marvel, and he's like, you have to watch Loki. And I was like, does electricity come out of anyone's fingertips? Because the second that happens, I'm out.
No, you're not going to see that.
And he said, not so far. So I'm going to watch until I see electricity coming out of someone's fingertips.
Why does that piss you off so much?
It's just my joking way of saying, like, the magical, like, I'm flying and shooting lightning bolts at you, I start to get bored. But if there's interesting dialogue, I'm in.
Do you watch The Flash, Joelle?
No, because she's a grown woman.
But I'm not currently up to date.
Oh, by the way, your buddy Greg Berlanti gave me a part. I'm going to Atlanta.
Oh, shit.
In what?
I can't talk about it, and it's a supporting part, and I'm not going for too long, but I'm headed down to Hotlanta. I said, Greg, he texted me. He said, I really love you to do this. I go, Greg, you could ask me to do a Valtrex commercial, and I'd say yes. And he said, I think you'll think this is better than a Valtrex commercial. And it was.
Nice. Thank goodness. Can I just... The Valtrex commercials, man, like... All
how
right,
much
so
for you to do a Valtrex commercial? What's your number? What's
that's
your number?
That's the question. That is
what's
the
your
question.
Number, Donald?
No,
what's your number?
What's your number, bro? What's your number?
There's no number because it would ruin my career.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah, there's no... I don't want my career to be over, so there is no number.
Right.
I don't work like I don't want. I'm not someone who's like wants to make $1 zillion and then go sit on an island alone and stare at the sea. Like I love working. I love creating. There's no number.
None whatsoever.
No, Joelle, do you have a Valtrex commercial number?
I just looked up what it is, and you know, no one truly knows me. So, and I can use my money. So, Valtrex, if you're listening and you need a spokesperson, let's do it.
By the way, cut to Valtrex wanting to advertise on the podcast, and we're like, okay.
Yeah, we're ready.
Absolutely.
No when you problem. Have a flare up, got a flare up trying to go on a new Tinder date. I think Donald and I could sell the shit out of Valtrex.
Hey, listen.
I think on the podcast it would be funny, but I'm talking about you on a TV ad. Like, it's hard to fight herpes simplex 10 or whatever it is.
Listen, if it's a nationwide commercial, I know what those people are making. Let's do it. I'm
nothing.
Ready.
They're all doing scale. I mean, they don't hire famous people. So they're mm-hmm. like, you know, they're actors who understandably need a check. And I'm not knocking them, of course. Take that money. I'm just saying, as a known actor, it would definitely mm-hmm. end your career.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. We are different.
Do you remember when we were kids and there was an ad like, Mom, do you douche?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Do you remember that ad?
Yes, that's why I use Massengill, right?
Yeah,
that's
clearly, like, what? Clearly the fucking John Hamm of that agency was like, we need to get young people douching. And so the commercial was like a girl, like, she had, like, came to her mom, and she was like, Mom, do you douche?
Why would you ever ask your mother that question? Ew, so gross.
Well, nowadays you'd Google it, but back in the day you had to ask your mom, I guess, according to fucking John Hamm.
Why is it John Hamm's fault?
I'm saying because of the madman, whatever the fancy business ad exec was.
John Hamm's gonna be like, what the fuck do I got to do with
it? I don't mean to blame it on the actor John Hamm. I mean whoever the John Hamm type in Mad Men is. You know, he's in the pitch meeting with the agency and there's a picture of a girl and she's like, Mom, do you douche? And he's like, this is how we get young people douching.
It's too
anyway,
far.
Anyway, sorry, right. we've gone off the
too
rails.
Too far. Do or do not. There is no try.
All right, subject changed. Listen.
I was just thinking how great of a cut machine that is. Like when you want to cut and go into something else, Daniel, you could machine. Always just use, yeah, just hit the machine.
Just hit the machine.
Hey,
there well, it is.
I'm
dude,
sorry.
That's well, a great.
Daniel didn't give me many drum options, or at least I don't know how to use this thing. I'm sure there's a zillion drum options.
There are quite a few, but yeah, you have to change the thing.
Please don't. Please okay. stop.
I thought
please
you stop. Liked it when I rapped.
Should we get into the show?
I have so much more I want to talk to you
okay,
about.
Okay, so let's
we
go.
Can, no,
going.
We can get into the show.
No.
Ruin
no.
the fun. Ruin the fucking fun.
Keep
I can't
going.
Wait to hire, I can't wait to hire the videographer to document your paintball day.
All right, look.
By the way, I'm going to take shots. I'm going to be like, because I obviously will never get hit, but I'm going to like set up a shot where like, I'm like, get hit and I fall down in slow motion for the video.
Really?
Yeah, for you.
You're going to go hard for it.
I'm going to go hard.
You're going to wear a mask or are you going to wear just goggles?
I'm going to let you paintball me in the face.
Whoa.
Oh, by the way, Andrew Watt, who is the producer of the year and is a friend of mine, he's just the most incredible music producer. I mean, he's doing everything from Justin Bieber to Ozzy and Eddie Vedder. And I mean, the guy is so fucking incredible. He's recording with Elton John now. And I was with him this weekend and he goes, I love the podcast. Can I come on? And I was like, you want to come on the podcast? So I think I may have landed a really cool conversation with Andrew Watt, the producer of the year. What do you think?
That's great, dude.
That sounds awesome.
I love it.
I walked in humming a Bieber song that I love, and he was like, oh, I wrote that.
Stop it. Yeah. Wait, which one? Is it Peaches?
No, what's the... He wrote Peaches, too. But what's...
catchy tune, man.
Well, I love Peaches. He wrote that. But what with Bieber? But what's the one? I think it's called Alone? Fuego. I mean, it's so poppy. Don't judge me, but I love this shit. Anyone.
You know what song
anyone,
I had?
Anyone. It's called Anyone. It's on his new album.
Hell yeah.
You know what song I had hummed?
It's got 300 million listens so far. Wow. Yes, Donald?
That's pretty cool. 300
you didn't. You were a little underwhelmed. You were a little underwhelmed by me getting producer of the year as a conversation, Donald. You're not interested?
No, I think that's dope. Dude. Come on, calm down.
Well, you were like
down, dude.
Well, you were like, yeah, great. You were like, as though I said, I asked the woman at Jamba Juice behind the counter if she'd come on. Let's have a take two of you being excited.
Here we go.
All right. Go.
That's dope. Actually, I do think that's dope, dude.
All right, good. Thank you. I just want you to know I'm always out there hustling for us, for our show and for our listeners.
I love that. I like your new angle, too. It's more in your face. I don't know about that.
Why? Too much?
You know what song is on my mind all the time? We got a caller.
Yeah. Hey. Well, wait till I get this new Casey song down. Daniel's going to get me the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Carrie Brothers and his wife, Jess Weiss, are going to produce it.
You guys think
I'm not coming through for the show? I'm booking guests. I'm fucking getting shit
I like
produced.
That we're a musical, too. And it doesn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, little by
it's
little.
It's always themed.
Every season we need to add at least one song.
It started off with, what you trying to get into, I dare shown, what you trying to do.
Yeah, that's a hooky. That gets in people's fucking heads. They love it. I should give that to Andrew to have him turn into a Bieber song.
That's what we need. We need.
Imagine Andrew. Bieber was like, what you trying to get into, I dare shown.
That'd be the best day of my life, man. Every Nigerian with the last name or first name, Adeo Shun, would be like, yes! Singing White Boy! Yes!
Oh, I write good hooks. All right, should we get in the show?
Yeah, why not?
Joel Counterson. Joel Counterson.
Oh, good. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Mm-hmm. Season 5.
We're off the rails this
off the
season.
Rails. Off the rails. This episode is off the rails. Everything, we were like, I don't know what they were smoking.
We were playing to the camera and everything, dude.
Everything. Wacky. But funny. I figured out small one pump mocha.
Yeah, very funny. I figured out what Johnny was doing finally. Like, maybe you figured that out. It feels like it's gotten to the point where he's like, all right, it's season 5. We're almost at 100 episodes. I want to keep this thing fresh. Bill, give me long-ass monologues, and I'm going to try and make it so John Michelle can't cut from my face while I do these monologues, dude. Because it's like long, long monologues.
They're getting longer.
And longer, right?
Yeah.
Like, I figured
I feel like long monologues became his What You Talking About Willis.
Yeah.
And so every episode now he has his What You Talking About Willis.
But I think he's doing it to keep it fresh also. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, we're really mugging. Like, we're definitely, it seems like we're all kind of phoning it in.
No, I don't think we're phoning it in. I think we're so stoked that we're leaning in maybe too far.
Too far, dude.
We're all like the fucking dude at the party on blow. Like, ah!
Right. Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yes. I don't mean phoning it in, but it feels like everybody's just trying to go so freaking...
Yeah, because we're all so excited. We all love it. We're fucking sprinting. And I'm sure there's a part of it that's like, how do we make this new? It's season 5. Come on. What do we turn the corner. What do we do now? And then Bill's answer was, what if we had ostriches that steal Donald's hat?
Dude, not only that.
Act as sentries.
There's a lot of moments in this where it's like, wait a second. This is real. These aren't fantasies. Dude, where did we get this sweater? Out of nowhere. This do we get the coat?
And the
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And what about the straw? Did you notice in the bar? Yeah. We're jumping ahead, but there's a Siamese straw at the bar. Yeah.
Where did how hard do these two plan get this to happen?
You know, like in animation when the character just reaches off screen and pulls in like an anvil or something? Mm-hmm. It's like that. Like we just reach off screen and pull off a Siamese sweater.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Well, if you want to justify it, we wanted to get a laugh at the bar and we put it in our knapsack that we're hiding under the table. And we
and
knew
when they turn away for 5 seconds.
Not even 5 seconds.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
We are wacky as fuck at this point.
Wacky, wacky, wacky. All right. So let's get in the show. There's no way I carried you at all, not even a foot, let alone down all those stairs. That was definitely a stunt, man. I cannot lift you very far.
Just to get the joke out.
Yeah. Well, I'm really, JD really, really, really is dying for laughs in this episode. And we learn that everyone is fake laughing to their immediate superior to kiss their ass.
I thought that was a really interesting, really clever way of showing how, you know, the pecking order of the hospital.
Yeah.
With, you know, the joke of, you know, trying to use whatever the problem was as the punchline. I thought that was amazing.
And they keep going down until it's a homeless guy and his dog.
And his dog, yeah.
And the dog laughs. Or barks. Yeah. He barks at the joke. A little
real
pet
quick,
peeve
do we
of mine.
Count in?
Yeah, I did.
Why, oh, Joelle's count in was that fucking forgetful to you?
No, it wasn't. It was, I was in my head. I was
you
like,
you can bring back the stoner freaking sound effect.
Oh, yeah.
For Dan.
Hold on. Let me find the bong for Dan.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, wait, hold on. What you trying to get
no,
is.
Where did you put it, Daniel? You labeled them.
No,
the
I never got to
them.
Labeling. Oh, now I hit a weird button and it's telling me. I need a new pad. I got
all inserts.
You need a new pad already?
Well, Daniel, with all due respect to Daniel, he got me a super. He helped me select a mega fancy one that maybe a fancy DJ like Daniel would know how to use. Like you could like fucking, you know, Tiesto could take this and play a concert. I just need a fucking like four pads labeled. Daniel. I can't, now I'm not even in the right thing anymore. Because
you press something other than the pads themselves. All you have to do is keep pressing the pads.
Oh, wait, I think I'm back. No.
Oh, boy.
This is my fault. I forgot that Joelle counted us in.
Oh, it's not a toilet.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me right now?
Dude, Daniel's got me balls deep in something. I don't even.
Wu-Tang Forever.
Yeah, that's not supposed to be there.
Wu-Tang Forever's not supposed to be there?
Not on pad two.
How would you know? They're not labeled.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, you're
stop
not supposed
talking
to
about
be
your...
there, Deb.
This went off the rails.
Sorry.
No, it's
oh, wait,
my
I found
fault.
It. I found it. No thanks to Daniel.
Oh my God.
There you go. That's for you.
Great. Thank you. Anyway, please continue.
All right. A pet peeve of mine, and if you're an aspiring filmmaker out there, don't have main characters screaming and none of the background reacting. Okay?
When did you see this?
When they do the security camera thing and Johnny C's yelling, Jordan! And no one anywhere near him acknowledges that a man is screaming a couple feet away from them.
I do. I agree with that.
Because
I
the background of folks and gals and guys don't normally do something unless they've been directed to do it. So you need to remember to tell them, like, hey, there's a guy screaming here. You can react like you would. You'll now notice this in movies all over the place, that someone's doing something outrageous and people aren't reacting because no one told them to. Just a small pet peeve. Now, I take a circular – this is not a fantasy. I take a circular saw – and cut the tie off one of my interns.
And then his chest open also.
I slice his chest open.
Yes.
Not a fantasy, Donald.
No, not a fantasy. Not a fantasy.
And I say it's his fault for wearing a tie.
Not only that, you also, he gets dibs on, what is it? On, what do you get them?
I forgot. What am I doing? I forgot, but he's bleeding everywhere.
Oh, the ketchup. The ketchup scene.
He gets ketchup because he gets ketchup first. Because I cut him open.
Because you cut him. Yes.
But there's no discussion of like, hey, man, maybe you shouldn't have used a circular saw, a buzz saw. What do you call that thing, Dale?
What? Like a.
You seem like someone
circular
who knows.
Saws, right? Spiral circular. Saw?
Like a table saw? Circular saw. No, it's not a table saw. Thanks for watching the episode, Dale. I think it's a circular or buzz saw.
No, I don't know what kind of. It's the kind that you need a freaking. A nut, no. You know.
Yeah, you don't know table. It's you got it has, it's a circle, and you hold it up, and you can cut wood with it.
But you have to push down on a table. It's the one that usually goes like this across, right?
Exactly, circular saw. Yes.
Circular saw.
Yeah, not to be confused with a table saw, Donald.
Mm. Well, that's just a big saw.
Donald, do you know how to build shit?
No, I suck at
that
shit.
I wish I did. We should have taken shop. We should have taken shop in
high school. I did take shop when I was younger, but I made swords and shields and stuff like that, which
I never took
easy
shop.
To make.
I, you know, listen, if you got a kid in high school, make him take auto. What's the auto one? Car shop?
I don't know.
Auto care?
It didn't shop class.
I didn't have it in high school.
Shop class.
Oh, then you didn't have that because you went to like performing arts high school, but. In Jersey, there was like out of the movies we grew up on, there's like you can take
where they make grease lightning and all that stuff.
Yeah, you can fix your car class. That's helpful. You know what's not helpful? Fucking proofs. Thereby, by the associative property of association, like, no, that shit doesn't help you. Changing your oil would help you.
Because, so then you can change your oil yourself?
Yes, Donald.
Dude.
What?
Do you not know how to change your oil?
No, I don't.
Do you know how to change a tire?
Yeah, I can change a tire.
Do you know how to charge your battery?
Yeah, you don't know how to change the oil in your car. Don't look at me like condescendingly.
I know how to change the oil in my car.
No, you don't.
I don't ever change the oil in my car.
I don't believe that. I take it to Jiffy Lube. I don't change it myself.
I take it to the freaking...
Do you go to Jiffy Lube?
Yeah. I know how to do it. I don't, but I do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I bet you, look at the manual, I could figure it out.
My point is this. I'll sum it up and move on. Okay, Donald? It's Donald, right?
It is.
there were classes in high school I wish I took, like wood shop and car shop. It's not called car shop. What the fuck is that class called?
All right, hold on.
Auto.
What's it? Auto class. Aww. What's auto class called? People are screaming it at their phones right now. Auto shop. Is that what it's called?
Maybe. Yeah, auto shop.
Do you remember in 16 Candles, they go to the auto shop and they sit in the car and he tries to hook up with her and she goes, just right now I felt how much you liked me on my leg. And he goes,
is it breath mints?
And he goes,
breath mints.
Fresh breath is one of my priorities.
Great movie.
So my laugh is, it's my genuine laugh that's featured in this episode.
Yeah.
I really laugh like that, I guess. I don't notice it until I hear people making fun of it.
You do it. And that's how you know when you're laughing hard.
Too. Yeah, but like when you hear your laugh played back, doesn't it sound strange to you? Like, I don't know. I guess I'm aware that I have a weird laugh, but it's not something I'm conscious of when I'm laughing.
I think everybody has a weird laugh. Everybody has has their own type of laugh. Like, I know I go up high. When I laugh.
I love your laugh.
You know what I mean?
I love your laugh.
I can't help it. That's how I know when it's funny. That or then when I laugh and I can't make any sound also. You know, when the sound doesn't come out of your mouth when you laugh. That's how you know.
That's when I've got you good. I also like when my laugh, I have a weird thing when I laugh too hard, I go, like it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but it does that.
I like that though.
I can't even do it.
Yeah, you can. You do it throughout this episode.
I know, but no, that's but there's a different one that's like.
Yeah, you kind of do it in this episode.
I don't even know how to fake it. The first appearance of multi-ethnic Siamese doctor. It is bizarre that we had the lab coat ready to go, and we seem to get it on like as fast as Superman changes into his outfit.
Yes. Yeah, I said it before. Like, what the heck?
Ketchup is for winners, Ted. Do you know what that's a light homage to?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yes, sir. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, the Glengarry leads.
Do you like it, Daniel?
Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, isn't that line just in the movie and not in the play?
Very, very smart Donald Faison. Yes, the Alec Baldwin big-ass monologue that scene that's in the movie is not in the play. There you go. A little trivia.
Where the line comes from.
Coffee is for closers.
Closers, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
These are the Glengarry leads, and you do not get them because you will just fuck them up. Yeah, great, great, great movie. If you haven't seen it, I never ask you guys for anything. Please watch Glengarry Glen Ross.
Have seen that.
It's a masterpiece. Mm. All right.
Elliot doesn't, you want to go to break or do you want to continue?
What do you think, Daniel or Joelle? Where'd Joelle go?
Keep throwing to me. Yeah,
break. But Joelle's not showing her videos, so I just feel like she left us alone here.
Joelle's watching Rebels.
Joelle, are you watching Rebels?
Internet is going in and out. I'm going to plug into router. BRB.
All right, we'll be right back after these fine words. And we're back.
Oh, shit. I guess we're back.
I had some arbol.
Mm.
What's that?
It's tree in Spanish.
You like the arbol, huh?
Well, when it's oh, I see my brother's doggy, which means he's taking a dump, which means my brother's arrived. Just looking out and seeing a strange dog poop in my yard. You know, when it's 1:30 and I want to have energy enough to hopefully be entertaining, I like a little kick in the pants.
Mm.
You feel like it gives you wings.
You do too.
I do. You know what? I do.
You
when
were
I'm
too
working.
Much. Oh my God! On Scrubs, when Donald would have a Red Bull in his hands, we'd be like, "Oh no."
Yeah.
Oh nice. No, because Donald with Red Bull is like someone who's
I didn't realize person. It went back that far.
Yeah, and then other times you used to get coffee when you've had way too much already and you were so crazy, and he'd be like, Donald would be like to a PA, like, can you please get me some coffee? And I'd whisper to the PA, I'd be like, decaf, get him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, only when I'm working, I guess. That I go hard with when I was doing the L word, I drank a lot of Red Bulls, man, to, and it would be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd be like, Red Bull time, you know?
Yeah. It's not great for you, but when you got to perform and you need a blast of energy, it definitely helps me. But I know it's just chemicals, so don't fucking at me. All right. And they're not our advertiser, so I can say that. Yeah.
Judy embarrasses the crap out of Elliot.
Oh, my God. How funny. First of all, we just said that we barely have fart jokes, and there's Elliot ripping a fart, and it was the funniest sounding fart.
Yes. And then she becomes what?
She gets called, what is her nickname? Bank farter.
Bank farter.
Oh, my God.
But I think these people think it's her last name, though. Like,
They know about the bank farting incident.
I know, but the guy in the last room when he's talking to her, when he fires her, the guy in that room.
Oh my
when
God!
He fires
but he's
her,
like German or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, bank farter.
Oh, bank farter. That's the funniest shit. Hold on, I wrote it down. He goes. Oh, yeah, he goes, jealousy's an ugly color, bank fodder. Now, for those of you that don't remember, Sarah's online at the ATM, and she has to fart. By the way, I think this is the second fart joke in two episodes. Like, season five is off to a fart joke explosion. So Elliot's at the ATM, and there's a line behind her, and she says, I really have to go. I have to fart. And Carla says, don't worry, there's all these men here. They'll just assume it was one of them. And then she farts. And it's like a really high-pitched. It's like, it's like a kitten being accidentally stepped on. And then a guy goes, I think that lady just farted.
I think that blonde lady just farted. I think that blonde lady just
And so we learned that Sarah has trouble staying in her job because everyone is calling her bank farter.
Well, only because Carla.
Because Carla gossiped.
Gossiped at the job. Now, bank farter.
There's a lot of people. We have these people in our lives. You think they're your close friends, and they are. And you love them. But they just cannot fucking keep any shit to themselves. I'm sure you listeners have someone in your life like that. You're like, I love you. You're close to me. I want to tell you this anecdote. I can't because you fucking cannot keep shit down. Why are you
and
laughing?
That's Carla.
That's Carla in this. But everyone's got that person in their life.
Absolutely. Who is it in your life?
I'm not going to out them on the podcast, but there's definitely people who I love, who I'm dear friends with, and I censor myself because I'm like, I love you. I wish I could tell you this story, but I have no doubt that you'll tell 10 people by tomorrow. Do you have people in your life like that, Dale, Joel?
Yeah,
to an extent.
Yeah, there's definitely mostly, sorry if you're listening, people in my family loves to gossip about each other. They're just very vocal, so, you know, we keep that under wraps.
Yeah, you got to censor sometimes because you can see where the leak in the boat is.
Granny doesn't need to know you went out partying last night. It's unnecessary.
Nope. Nope.
Well,
that's funny.
If you out partying, Daniel, are you out partying?
Daniel, did you go party last night?
What?
I'm gonna tell everybody.
Daniel, where did you go party at?
I didn't go partying. I'm agreeing with the sentiment.
Oh.
Joel said Granny doesn't need to know that you went out partying. I'm like, yep, or nope, no, she does not. I didn't go. What did I do last night? Wait, what's today? Monday? I streamed last night. I beat Doom Eternal last night. That's all the partying
oh,
I did.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
What's Doom Eternal?
That's a video game.
As you beat it?
It just took me forever.
Did you take
on
the final boss?
As a matter of fact, I did. I made a whole thing out of it.
You and my nephew went down a deep wormhole video game chat. He really loved talking to you.
Oh, it was so great. I mean, you know, hey, great dude. Great dude. I was about to say so-and-so is a great person, but I don't want to reveal their name on the podcast.
He loves video games, and you guys were speaking the same language.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a good dude. Good family.
How many people watched you beat the video game last night?
Only 40. Not that many. It's a good crew. Love them all.
So is it a tutorial? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, I never watched one of these Twitch things. You play the game and you talk, and are people like, wait, slay him with this.
Sometimes. It depends on, like, how much interaction I want to involve the audience in. But right now, this segment is called Daniel's Backlog, where I beat the games that I've been just sitting on for too long. That are just, like, story games that I've been really meaning to
beat. And how many hours does it take you?
Depends on the game, but I think this one took me like 8 or 9 2-hour sessions, so probably close to 20 hours.
And do people throw you money?
Yes.
You're kind of like a stripper on a pole.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, they're throwing dollars at you. Like, instead of like showing your booty, you're like beating a dragon, and they're throwing dollars at you.
You know
or
what?
They're
okay,
just paying for me to eventually smoke weed. That's more of the thing.
But you see the analogy that I've created.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. No, you are correct. Look, Daddy Daniel is dancing for those dollars. I'll tell you what.
Dance for those dollars, Daniel.
The cheeks are
coming
flying.
To the stage. We've got
you're gonna slay the dragon with a potion.
It doesn't help that I was wearing a shirt that said "Come" on it last night while I was playing.
Oh, that's one of my favorite shirts of yours.
It's a great shirt. It's a great.
So
shirt.
What does it say? It just says "come."
It just says "come."
Like COME.
COME.
No, sir.
Not that one.
Wow. I'm glad you didn't wear that to Disneyland.
Come on now.
He once wore it in a training video.
There was a guy with a hat we saw that had it was like the Ford logo, but it said "fuck," I think.
That's inappropriate, sir.
I was like, bro, come on, dude. You came.
Did you see the guy by the American flag looking at us in that picture that we posted on the internet?
That's Kerry Brothers.
No, behind Kerry Brothers. There's a guy looking at us. Did you go? You got to go deeper into the picture.
Oh,
it
my
goes,
God. Oh, Daniel, boy, that shirt Daniel. Is ridiculous.
It's so metal.
I could never wear that, but I love it.
It's a great shirt. Well, I mean, you saw me wear it in the training video for how
I
to use
come on. I want to come on your Twitch. I have no interest in watching someone play video games, but I want to come on and make it rain like you're doing. Like,
oh. Like,
you ain't gotta is there that. A make it rain button?
Kind of. I mean, there's just the... There's just the donate button, and you can go as wild as you want.
Oh, really? I can donate whatever I want.
But now, do you do like a graphic that just goes like where it makes it look like it's raining?
Yeah,
I'll make sure that exists for whenever you want
to
do this.
Okay, and do you have to do like if I make it rain like hard? Do you have to do anything special? Like, will you twerk?
That sounds like a perfect time for an audience poll. Audience, what would you like Daniel to do?
Yeah,
for Zach's making it rain.
Daniel, if I make it rain, you have to pause the game and twerk.
No problem. No problem.
God.
That's fine.
Donald,
by me.
Have you ever watched? I mean, I know that this exists, watching people play video games. But have you ever done it, Donald?
I have not, but I will if I can manipulate people into doing dances and stuff for me. If I make it rain for them, I might just start doing that, dude.
Donald
if
and I are coming on the next time you stream.
That would be Wednesday. Wednesday night.
Okay, Wednesday night we're going to watch.
Wednesday night.
I appreciate you. Can we pick a game I'm somewhat interested in, like old school Super Mario Brothers?
What about GTA?
Either one, whatever you want. On Wednesdays from 5 to 8, I play Dungeons and Dragons, and then after that, we play whatever. Play anything else.
Can I make you twerk at Dungeons and Dragons?
You can make me twerk during Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my God. Now, when you're done playing the game, do you go around to the 40 people and be like, hey, do you want a private watching? You want to watch me play Prodigy?
Private gaming sessions are actually on the OnlyFans, but yeah, you can ask that.
Do you want to go
catch
in a private
my link
room?
Tree on the Twitch?
Want to go in a private room and watch me play Tetris?
Tetris.
Oh, you're not going to believe what happens when that full stick comes down.
Oh my! Oh,
that straight four piecer.
Oh boy!
Oh, I got a corner coming. Watch. I'm sure there's, I really honestly don't know, but I'm sure, I know that pretty girls do this too, right? So did they add an element of like, I mean, it's a guy's dream who likes video games. It's a beautiful woman. She's probably scantily clad and she's playing, you know, a game. Isn't that a thing?
Right.
No, it absolutely is a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There's.
I know that Sasha Gray, not that she does it scantily clad, but she's a very popular woman amongst some men. And I know that she plays games.
Mm-hmm. She does.
You know what, Donald are gonna watch her and not you, Daniel. I just changed our minds.
Wait, I want to. I thought she was DJing on her thing. I thought that's what you were doing on your Twitch. I didn't know you guys were actually playing video games.
No, doesn't she play video games and also she cooks sometimes?
Bingo. Yeah, she plays video games and cooks. Does cooking streams.
Yeah,
I mostly play games.
Can you cook, Daniel?
Yes, I can cook.
All right, should we focus on the television show Scrubs? We really got distracted here.
Quite the aside.
Okay, now this is a nice segue. These breasts on the nurses, like, why are these?
Why are they wearing that type of scrub in the first place?
Yeah, why would these nurses ever be wearing this? Is like a porno.
I'm just saying, we really lean into the jokes this year.
I know, but
so
listen,
far.
It was funny when someone, Rob says that all four breasts names, he goes, that's Tina, Marge, Sloppy, and Mr. Snuggles.
And then
Aloma goes, Mr. Snuggles is, what does he say? She's like, bigger. Sloppy, no, she goes, Slappy's bigger than Mr. Snuggles.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's just so unrealistic, though, that nurses would ever wear anything. Like, they would be fired in a second. Somebody would be like, put some clothes on. Like, what hospital is this?
And then we meet your interns, finally. We meet them in the beginning of the show, but now we're starting to get to know them. And you actually call Keith, and so now we
And it's the first time we actually see what Keith looks like, Keith Dudemeister.
Yeah. And these guys stick with us for a bit. I guess for a year, they're around.
I know Rex, who I cut in half, he's definitely around for the season.
Right.
And then there's Gloria, the senior citizen.
Is she around the whole time?
I think she's
just
around all year because there's a lot of Gloria jokes. Dude, that was so funny when I make them go outside the security gate and we're all waiting on Gloria.
You're off duty, but everybody kind of has on gray t-shirts. Right, nobody's dressed in.
And then Gloria, I'm like, they're like, shouldn't we wait for Gloria? I'm like, no, we're not waiting for Gloria. And I'm like, stop waving. You're always waving. Enough with the waving.
Yeah, but she waves no matter what.
I don't think they ever gave Gloria. Did they ever give Gloria lines? I don't remember, but Gloria so far just waves.
That's it. Even at the end when you tell her, hey, and you did the waving thing, you know, and you do the waving thing again.
Yeah, I
she waves before that, though, too. She sits there and just, anyway.
And Alexander Chapman is back. Wonderful actor as the patient who's always trying to score money and drugs off of us.
Yes.
You might remember him from a very special film called Wish I Was Here.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm not going on a tangent. There were two actors that really stood out in that film. The guy who played the Aston Martin dealer, Donald Faison.
Okay, I like that part, yeah.
He was really good. the fact that what he did with a small two-scene part was extraordinary. And then, of course, there's Alexander Chapman, who played the young rabbi in the movie, who also was really good. And anyway, he's back, and I love him. He's a really funny, talented actor. He was on Spin City with Bill.
And I love that he's playing the same character, and the character still hasn't gotten it right yet. The character still hasn't you know, and I love the fact that the whole hospital wants to watch Jordan go down this path.
Yeah.
Where she gets tricked.
Yeah, and then she finally gives him money, and he's like, I can't take it. And she goes, I can't even Botox an ear with that. Like, just take it. That means nothing to me.
And then she finds out, and that's how, you know, that's how we accept Jordan into the hospital. That's how she becomes a part of the fold.
It's kind of like she gets hazed.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought that was a beautiful moment at the end of the show also. The music worked and everything, and how, you know, there was a sense of camaraderie and fellowship because of what happened to her. And everybody was able to, you know, tell them their story of how they got duped by someone. I thought that was really cool.
I laughed out loud when you go, I can't watch this. And Aloma goes, then move your big bald biscuit head.
Biscuit head.
Some of us don't have cable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aloma had two fucking ringers in this episode.
Yeah. And then you fantasizing about killing your interns.
Oh, my God. I remember the stuntman doing that fall off the roof, which was a major fall. I think it was the person who does it, as I recall. Have you ever been to Universal Studios when they have the
Waterworld.
Waterworld show, which is great, by the way. It's so fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. If you haven't been to Universal Studios, at least here in L.A., they for your kids will love it. There was a when I first saw that Waterworld show as a young kid who wanted to make movies, I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Even seeing it as an adult, it's really
cool. I'm sure. And it's a really cool attraction. Anyway, there's someone does an insane dive, high dive in that show. And I believe this was, I remember hearing it was the same dude who was doing this dive off the hospital. And here's the crazy thing. I don't know if stuntmen, they must have changed this because it feels like when stuntmen do big falls these days, they do them into stacks of cardboard boxes that collapse. But this was still the days of the giant airbag. And I remember that everyone was very concerned that obviously that the fan that keeps the airbag big wouldn't get unplugged because that would cause death.
Oh, no.
And do you remember there was that utility guy who was always around, Donald? He would do – I forgot his name. He would do
Norm?
All sorts of – Norm, yeah. So Norm was a very nice man, and he would just do sort of odd jobs. And I remember they put Norm in charge of, like, watching the plug, like, make sure the fan doesn't get unplugged. And I was like, I just feel so dangerous that, like, it could all come down to, like, Norm decides to go get coffee and someone kicks out the fan plug. Because this dude was risking his life for a fucking Scrubs joke. It was a big – I mean, it was a four-story fall. No joke.
But they didn't even use the whole fall. They just used him.
I know. They
should
have used more. He did the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was sick. Everyone gathered around. It was very exciting watching someone fucking do a leap off a building.
Felt very old school. You know what I mean? Felt
No green screen, man. That's just a dude falling off a building.
That's it. That's
into a pad that hopefully stays inflated.
Plugged in, right?
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got here?
This goes back in the day when putting your finger in somebody's mouth was acceptable. Turk gets hooked fished by Cox.
Yes. You wouldn't like
to
that
the ground.
Today.
I don't know if I would be, I'd be like, yo, dude, we got to hand sanitize.
We
got to
talk, First of all, don't put your fingers in my mouth. Second of all.
I don't want.
Second of all, just same as the first thing.
Don't put your fingers in my mouth. Right.
I think this is the first time I ever say zoom, zoom, zoom. No?
It is. It is the first time.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Wasn't that
It was a car commercial.
It was a car commercial. That's where it started from. What was the car commercial? Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember. It was a car.
Joelle, can you look up what the car commercial with zoom, zoom, zoom was?
It was a Miata. Or it was a Mazda. It was the...
Mazda Zoom? Zoom, 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 zoom.
That was just the...
It was their jingle. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom.
Mazda commercial. Zoom, zoom.
I think the MX-5?
RX-8?
RX-8.
Zoom, 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 zoom.
Yeah, well, those jingle people got us good. And I just started saying it. And then I know it later I'd have a love interest on the show. And I'm like, you zoom? You zoom, zoom?
Elizabeth Banks.
Was it Elizabeth Banks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this is the first
That
time...
means she's coming up this season.
No, I think Mandy's first.
And then Ebanks at the end?
I don't know. That's why we have a fancy producer like Joelle.
I'm on it. I think it is the end of this season.
All right. So look, we got We got, oh my God, definitely the hardest I laughed was, just because you dye your mustache blonde doesn't mean it's gone. I thought that was very funny. Listen, I always thought that was weird. Like, if you want a female and you want facial hair, by all means, have it. But don't dye it blonde and think that it's not there anymore. Throughout your thoughts.
Listen, it's your body. Do what you want. But we can still see it. It's not making it disappear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, now you just have a blonde mustache.
Right. Which maybe is what you wanted. So power to you.
No, but that's fine. There's zero judgment. I'm just saying I'm here to tell you that it's not, like, invisible now.
It's definitely not. Absolutely not.
What do? You just get waxed or something.
Some people don't want that. But sometimes when you wax it and it comes back, though, it's a little bit stronger. And then all of a sudden it's
thicker?
Darker.
Is that the thinking, Joelle? Why would a woman who aspires to have it go away not wax it and choose to dye it blonde?
It hurts. I guess it's probably not more expensive than dyeing it. I don't know where it came from. Like, none of my friends that I'm aware of have ever dyed their mustache. You know what I mean? You just either wax it or you leave it alone. So those are really your options.
Well, what about,
or you
laser?
Get the hair removal. You could do the laser if you're about.
And they
that
have
life,
the thing with threads. I've seen the ladies doing threads.
Oh, threading.
Well, but you don't want to get threading on your upper lip. Like, your eyebrows are sturdy. Like, they could take it. Right? It's gonna hurt. You're gonna water. It's painful as hell. They're literally twisting. But it stays because they're really getting that hair out. It's the root.
I think some women like it. They're like, fuck it. I think it's cute.
Is it? Sometimes it's just not worth being bothered with. You're like, whatever. It's there to deal with it.
To each their own, Donald.
What are you trying to say?
You're going full beard again, huh? You taking that
I'm
beard
going
back?
Full beard?
Yeah, your beard's growing back.
Yeah, man, I'm not working right now. Like, the work that I'm doing is this. It's all voiceover stuff. Okay. So I'm going to let it grow out until I got to be on camera again.
Okay. So,
You got a problem with that?
No, like you clean shaven. I think in this season you look so darn handsome. I guess I just want.
Would you like the goatee? Really?
I don't mind the goatee.
I didn't like the goatee.
Really? You get made fun of in this episode for it.
I do, and I feel like he deserved it. I don't think a goatee is the maneuver for Turk. It didn't look right.
I think you could have any facial hair and you'd be perfect.
Did you ever have a goatee?
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think I should dye. I feel like I should dye my hair or something, like bleach blonde or something.
Whoa!
I dare you.
I did, obviously, for Broken Hearts Club, but it's been a zillion years since I did it.
Maybe do it for this new Secret Greg Berlanti show.
I actually asked the director, like, if I should do something wacky, like dye my hair. He goes, "Definitely open to something wacky. Don't dye it because the person what you're acting with has dyed blonde hair."
Oh shit.
You curious? I'll tell you when we're done with the podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to whisper it just to you. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
No one can hear you. Ready? Can you hear me? This episode is so weird. I'm sorry, fans. I think we're in a silly mood.
This is
sorry.
A good one.
Do we have a guest caller?
Yeah, bring in the caller for the love of Yahweh.
Say hello to Joe. Oh, should we go to our second break first?
Yes, please.
Second break.
Second break.
<God damn it. laughs> I'm losing my fucking mind. Second break. And we're back.
We are back. You know what that sounded like?
What?
The Revenge of the Nerds.
Clap your
hands,
yeah,
everybody.
And clap your hands.
Omega Moo.
When I was a kid, I remember, like, this song is fire.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Jillian C. Scooby!
Hi, Jillian C. Gooby.
Hi! Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. Welcome to the show. It's a very wacky show. Donald's in a very silly mood.
Perfect. I love it.
All right, good.
That's my favorite kind of Donald.
What's your nickname? What did they call you? Jill?
But there it is. Actually, Goobs is obviously a very funny last name. So,
but Jill, if you were my friend, I'd call you Goobs.
Yeah, Goobs. Most people. Yeah,
it's kind of cute. Lot. Goobs. Hey, it's Goobs.
Yeah. And Goobatron.
Goobatron.
You know, general.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll call you Jill because you said that's your nickname. Jill in the house.
Jill, where are you calling us from?
So I'm in Pittsburgh right now, and I should caveat this with we had a thunderstorm and tornado warning today. So hopefully I don't get cut off in the middle of this.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Probably, we don't want that to happen either.
And my dog is also very afraid of lightning, so I apologize if he barks.
Is it still raining and thundering outside right now?
It's just sprinkling right now, so I think that we might be good.
Well, welcome to the program. We're very glad you're here. And do you have any questions for us?
I do. So maybe I should just start by saying that I'm a physician by training, and I did my medical training in Canada. I did 5 years of residency there, and I'm in Pittsburgh now doing some research training. So my first question was kind of related to medicine and the fact that in medicine, there's a lot of stereotypes about different personalities and different specialties. So I did internal medicine and then subspecialized in pulmonology. And as it's kind of brought up in the show, internal medicine doctors are kind of thought to be the nerds, and right. pulmonologists are kind of nerdy, but also adrenaline junkies. There's a lot of intensity in that field. Mm-hmm. Cardiologists are like the cocky nerds, and gastroenterologists love poop. Surgeons yeah. are the jocks, especially yeah. orthopedic surgeons.
Yeah.
Radiologists and pathologists hate people. Psychiatrists are kind of the esoteric wandering souls, you know, that sort of thing. So
yes.
My question was for Zach and Donald, and also Joelle and Daniel. If you were to be doctors or in some kind of medical field, what kind of personality do you think that your specialty would best fall into?
Wow. Very good question.
Great question.
I think Bill nailed it when he made Turk a surgeon for me. Yeah. You know, I think my personality and, you know, the way I like to look at myself is definitely jock-ish. You know, I like to, you know, if you ask my wife, I am a professional athlete or was at the level of a professional athlete when I was younger and could actually move my body. So I think definitely a surgeon.
I think you would be an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, so me too.
You'd love to like be breaking bones and using like the drill saws and everything.
It's yeah.
Like,
that does sound fun.
It's funny. The one orthopedic surgeon I've gone to is totally jockey. He's like ripped. I'm like, how are you having time to go to the gym?
I don't sleep.
Yeah. What about you, Daniel and or Joelle?
I mean, I'll say this. Something that is very near and dear to me in terms of, you know, just wellness and health is ear safety. So maybe an ENT of some kind, ear, nose, throat doctor. I love being an advocate for wearing earplugs. And so as we go out and journey into the world again and go see concerts and shows, please do remember to wear your earplugs because you only get one set of ears and you need to protect them.
And if you're on the fence about that, watch Sound of Metal, the amazing film. And then,
a great call.
And then definitely wear earplugs when you go to a concert.
Yep.
Joe, what kind of nerd is that?
I don't know if it fits into a specific category of nerd, but I have to admit that I am not the best at that. I do listen to music too loudly, and I use Q-tips in my ears, which I know you're not supposed
to. Wait, you're not supposed to put Q-tips in your ears?
No, you're not supposed
Correct.
To be deep.
You're not supposed to. No,
you can poke it through your tympanic membrane.
Yeah.
That you shit feels so good. I'm not going to lie.
After a hot shower.
It feels so good.
It feels so good.
It's sexual.
It's like,
okay.
Dude, we have a guest. Don't do
I'm
that.
I'm not
in front
being
of
disgusting. That's what
yeah,
it feels
you're doing
like.
Fake orgasm in front of Goob.
No, I'm not.
Doctor.
I'm doing what my ear would makes me feel like. I'm not doing any type of
you're
orgasm.
You're doing an eargasm.
That's not an orgasm. It's an eargasm.
I'm very surprised that your new nickname isn't coming up here, Zach.
What? Yeah!
Oh, oh my God! Oh, not no. In front of Goobs, Donald. Stop. All right. Now, listen, Joelle, you strike... I'm not going to answer for you, okay, but you okay. do strike me as potentially a psychiatrist, psychologist, because you're very a good you're a very good listener. Go ahead.
I think that's what I was going to say. Like, I don't know how great I would be at prescribing meds and stuff, so
yeah,
I'm
you just
say
give them
therapist.
Out to everybody.
I really would. I'd be like, are
Joelle
you sad?
Be like, some for Yo, you, some for you.
Here's a script. What do you mean? Like, we're just going to get it. We're going to make it better, boo. So I think I'd be a much better therapist where I could be like, and okay, I'm hearing everything. I'm going to give you some very light advice, but mostly I'm just here to listen and encourage you. And then I will send you off to specialists who can really, like, get into the nitty gritty of what you need. But I like being like, I listen, I love my therapist. She's just my home base. We just touch base every week. She guides me through it. And I feel like that I would love that job. I would especially like that job with, like, you know, preteens, teenagers is such an awkward and uncomfortable time. And man, being able to just be like, no, you're good, man. This is just, that's just part of growing up. You're gonna be fine. Oh man, I would really like that.
Yeah, one of my best friends from med school actually went into child psychiatry and deals primarily with childhood anxiety disorders. And
oh, so bless them, because we need them.
She, and I mean, like a lot of psychiatrists will do more kind of talk therapy and CBD type approaches, and I mean they also have the ability to prescribe medications when they have to, but it just kind of depends on what area of psychiatry you're in.
Definitely,
I would I think I'd be an ER doctor or a trauma center person. I'm very excited by the adrenaline and the excitement and the people skills and. As I've shared on here before, I volunteered on my town's rescue squad when I was 18, and I loved it. I thought it was so incredible. And then the paramedics who would meet us at the scene, to me, were like superheroes. And I just always thought paramedics were so badass and cool. And, you know, like all people, I've been in ERs and with family members. And when the doctors and nurses come to the rescue, I just think it's so thrilling. And I think that's what I would do if
I would rock at that.
There's an amazing documentary, Goobs. You've probably seen it, but it's called Code Black.
I haven't seen it. Tell me more.
There's a TV show that they made based on it, but I highly recommend this. I just looked it up for you guys. It's it came out in 2014. It's called Code Black. The TV show was inspired by it, but it's about the first trauma center that was ever set up in LA and as a teaching hospital. And it's insane how they used to teach young doctors how to handle trauma that comes in. And Code Black, I believe, is the jargon for there's no beds left. We're so full. The wait time is so long. Like, do not come here, because they were at inner city hospital. And I don't know.
Code Black this year.
I'll bet. Anyway, check out that documentary, especially if you're in the field and or you know a young person who's might be inspired to get into the field. I that documentary made me want to change my whole life around and become a real doctor, not a fake doctor. But I'm just going to stick with fake doctor, I think.
One thing that I would say about that, Zach, is that I feel like, at least from here, listening to the podcast so much, is that it seems to me like you're really big on kind of the relationship building aspect of it too. And the one thing about being an ER doctor is that you don't get to necessarily spend as much time with the patients and see that follow up. So I can see, like, right. I get that, because I'm more of I like the adrenaline of, you know, the acutely critically ill and did a lot of ICU and that sort of thing. So I can see you being an ICU doctor.
The crazy thing about that. Thank you. Wow, that's a very nice comment. The crazy thing about the ICU doctors, I understand it, they're usually on 2 weeks and then off 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Because
it's
so...
I mean, it depends on the hospital and like...
Well, my experience with ICU, and I've unfortunately had a bunch in the last however many years, is that it's so intense and they come in for 2 weeks and then they take 2 weeks off to recover. But it's weird, because if you've got someone in the ICU, you're like... You fall in love with these people and you're like, please don't leave me, hero. And they're like, I have to. Well, I'll be back in 2 weeks. It's a weird way of doing things, but I understand why, because who can sustain that level of concentration and stress?
It can be totally life consuming. That's for sure. It kind of leads into my next question.
Yes, Goobs. Good transition. You did. I didn't even have to do it. Go ahead.
So smooth. I love it.
You should tell all your friends to call you Goobs. It's the perfect
nickname. They do. I mean, they do.
Donald, don't you love it? Better than Jill.
I don't. She said she wants to be called Jill, man. I'm gonna honor that and respect that.
I'm not gonna honor it, Jill.
I appreciate you too, Jill.
All right, Jill, go ahead.
So I really thought it was so interesting to hear about the process of you guys filming Scrubs, especially just the crazy, crazy hours that you were working in Scrubs, being there at all hours of the night. And it reminded me a lot of my residency experience. Like, I would have shifts where I was doing like 27 hours and going 110% the whole time, like not sleeping. And it was just such a like critical, formative experience in my life, but it was obviously super difficult and filled with a lot of sleep deprivation. But I learned so much through that kind of intensive immersion into my job and into my career. And I bonded so much with the people that I did it with. And so I think that it's kind of similar, and there's a lot of correlates with what it seems like you guys went through, because you were quite early in your career at that time as well. And it, I imagine, was quite a formative experience for you as actors. So now that that is not how a lot of TV shows are made, with those like 24 episodes and lots of that time spent, do you think that that's changing how the field of acting is moving forward and those experiences for young actors?
My first answer is it became a matter of safety for the crew, because what was happening is there were incidents of, you know, the crew are always, however long actors complain about being there, the crew are there longer. And there were a lot of safety issues with, you know, people falling asleep driving home. And obviously no one can help but be less safe than they were when the day started, when they've been working for 18 hours. So I think that people began to become more conscious of that. And the unions, of course, became more conscious of that. And the studios did. I don't know, Donald, do you think, as far as acting goes, no, I think it's way more healthy to not do it. Although the one defense of it I'll say is we were playing interns who have these insane hours. So there was a bit of like, we're always here, we're only in this hospital. I mean, it was a little bit of method acting, because we were loopy and silly and pounding coffee, and you know, it probably helped us you know, pretend to be the real thing, right, Donald?
Yeah, you know, it's just weird when you meet actors who go that deep into the role that they, you know, start, you know, acting like the character that they're playing in some way. It's always, and then you meet them afterwards and they're completely different. And so I get it. For what it's worth, that is an experience, but I definitely, as I don't care if I were a young actor or an old actor, I feel like it's way more healthier to have regulated hours, just for your mind and everything. It would suck. It sucked to have, you know, when you did 18 hours and then have to go home, sleep, and then still memorize your lines for the next day, you know, it got to the point where I didn't even try to memorize my lines. I just would go to work and be like, all right, what are we doing?
Well, you probably worked better like when you actually slept rather than stayed up all night memorizing your lines, I would guess.
Yeah, unless the part is like someone, I definitely feel sometimes if you're playing on edge or grouchy or irritable, it obviously helps if you're in that space, because you just want to scream, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I like naps now.
Maybe I like naps now. Maybe that's what it is. Hashtag 47. I like
maybe
naps.
Maybe that's what
now.
It is.
Johnny C would come in. Johnny C lived far out at the beach, and I think I've told you this before. He didn't want to deal with the traffic coming into where we shot. So he would sometimes, if he knew he had an early call, he'd get up at like 4 a.m, drive to the hospital, and then go back to sleep at the hospital because the traffic from where he lived was such a nightmare. So he'd be there like an insane amount of hours because he was doing that. Yeah.
I wish I had his dedication when we were young, like we were when we were making this. You know what I mean? Like his ability to want to learn how to do to not learn how to, but to learn a crap ton of lines, you know, because that was exciting for him. And, you know, he thought that, you know, I looked at it as if I could have the least amount of lines at this point, season 5, if I could have the least amount of lines in the least amount of scenes, I can get out and party, or I can go play paintball, or I can go, you know, that's what I was thinking about at this point in the show. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, I am too. That's pretty much your attitude.
That's totally understandable. I mean, you need to have a life too, right? Like, you can't let it be completely all consuming with your job. I think that's so important to me.
Yeah, but you succeed way more
when you're doing amazing things and saving lives. We were just fucking around trying to make people laugh.
No, you guys made an incredible show that was super inspiring for me. I actually watched, when I got into med school, my parents bought me the entire box set of Scrubs. And so I got into med school in 2011 and I watched all of it with my best friend, who was my roommate at the time. And it was so scary watching it, but like, it was amazing, but really scary because I was like, holy shit, I don't know any of this stuff. And how have I ever?
I know, but maybe we gave you, maybe in watching it, we gave you some random answers that you got you right
did.
When
you did. And then I rewatched it again now that I'm kind of doing research training and have done all of my clinical residency. And it's just like such a different experience to go through it again at like so much older and wiser.
All right, Goobs, you know what time it is?
I think I might be.
It's time for Pennsylvania's favorite segment, Donald.
What time is that?
It's time to fix your life! How can we fix your life, Goobs? It seems like you have a good life. You seem like a happy person. How can we? I can't imagine we can improve on it, but we'll try.
Well, I hope that you can give me some hot tips because I am trying to figure out a predicament at the moment.
Okay.
So my partner, Sean, and I are both in Pittsburgh right now doing research training. And we both, spent a lot of time, money, energy on our careers and our education. And we've both been like very supportive of each other over that time. We're both from Canada. And I'm thinking that we'll probably be finishing up our research training here within the next year or so. And we're trying to decide where to go after that. And so I'm looking at two places in Canada and one in the US, but we're kind of leaning towards Canada because that's where our families are. And, you know, if we want to have kids and all that stuff, it's easier to do it closer to family.
Right.
And we're kind of torn between two locations. One is better for my career and one's better for his career.
Yours, Goobs.
The one that is like better for his career is also closer to his family and probably a little bit more family in general that would be able to support. And the one that's better for my career has a little bit more of my family nearby. So it's a really tough decision.
Wow, that is tricky. Now, how far apart are these towns from each other?
They're Vancouver and Calgary, so they're on the West Coast. And, you know, you can fly from Vancouver to Calgary in like an hour and a half, but I try to minimize my like flying because I don't want to, you know, have too big of a carbon footprint and whatnot. But,
Daniel likes that. You got a from Daniel.
Oh, I like
now,
it.
Now, Goobs, I have a question. I don't know anything about living in Calgary, but Van Groovy is a really fun place to live. So we have to factor that in.
It's a great place to live. Calgary is a pretty cool place to live too.
It's just cold.
It's colder.
It's cold.
But we love skiing and all kinds of outdoor activities and stuff. So both.
Why don't you come live in Southern California, Goobs? We have a lot of hospitals. It's 77 every day. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, but then she's got the predicament that they want to start a family and everything
We'll help.
Okay,
you're going to babysit?
I will.
You're full of shit because you haven't babysat once. You haven't done it once.
I babysat your kids.
Never in your life.
I watched Wilder while you went on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Here's the other issue with that.
You are an asshole, sir.
You're a T-ears. Go ahead, Goobs.
I'm a T-ears.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Goobs, go ahead.
The issue with that is that it's still a part of the American healthcare system, which is...
Oh. Yeah, it's a mess. Right. Well, that's interesting. So you prefer the Canadian healthcare system as a young physician.
I like being able to treat people equally.
Wow, I like
there
that.
There it is.
There,
bam,
damn,
and there's the knowledge for you. Mm-hmm. There's the knowledge for you, fake doctors, real friends,
yeah,
listeners.
You're hearing it right from a young bam. Physician. I like to be able to treat my patients equally. Fucking hell.
Bam.
Boom.
Hold on. Let me hit the button. That's really well said. Really well said. And people need to hear it as succinct as that.
Yeah. That's,
I don't know if it's
going to
happen in our lifetime.
But, for me.
All right. Well, okay. So we're on Canada because we believe in healthcare for everybody. Okay. Got that.
I mean, it's not to say that like I wouldn't like consider taking a job in the U.S. But
especially yeah. if Donald and I were going to help you out with some light babysitting.
Yeah,
I like babysitting your kids. I'm sorry. I'm not babysitting your kids.
They'll be really cute. I promise.
I'm sure they
great.
Will be.
I'm sure they will be, but I got enough of them.
Yeah, you got too
many. I'm good. I'm good.
Is the Vancouver position better for you or your husband?
For me.
Okay, Vancouver. We choose
Vancouver.
Vancouver
it is.
Vancouver. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer because you're young. How old are you?
30.
You're 30 years old. Go live in a really fun city. What I'm told is the most fun city in Canada. You're close to the ski slope since you guys ski. You said there's family there for when you have kids. And he's just going to have to understand. And you say, babe, I love you, but come on, we're 30 years old. Let's go live in a fun-ass city. We can live in Calgary another time.
It's super expensive, too, is the only thing. But, you know,
well, eventually. But you're 30
wait,
years
is
old.
Is Montreal
you don't need a
in Calgary?
Place.
No.
No, Donald. No. We'll edit that out for you, Donald.
I don't know my geography, dude.
I know. Where's like saying is Oahu in India?
You can eat a dick. Dude.
You can eat fucking seven.
You can eat
goobs,
a fucking
goobs,
hole.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs, goobs. You can eat a bag of fucking dicks, Donald.
You can eat a dick so fucking.
You can eat a basket of uncircumcised anteaters.
Fucking purple tipped. Dick, you fuck.
All right,
purple
we're done.
Tipped.
Oh my God, Goobs, you were supposed to have earmuffs on. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. It was too good. I'm crying.
Love it. Goobs, why does the tip sometimes purple from a doctor?
No, 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 no.
I'm asking
nope,
her a
nope,
doctor.
Nope, nope.
Okay, sorry.
Nope.
My specialty is the lungs, so
okay,
you know.
Sorry.
I thought
we could. We'll cut
flow.
That. I'm sorry. I just thought that we could ask a doctor a question. I'm sorry.
You definitely can, but.
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. Goose.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Things are out of control.
No.
Oh, Jill,
that's
sorry.
Enough.
Actually, I actually don't know. I'll have to look that one
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Jill, look that up.
Oh God, Joel, if you want me to look
I
that up, I will.
Yes, please, Daniel, why don't you look that up on your search?
Daniel, will you look it up and tell Goobs because she might come up in her practice in Vancouver.
What a penis! Test.
All right, you're welcome, Goobs. Vancouver,
thank
it is.
You.
You'll be able all to right. hang out with Sarah Chalk.
Yeah, I would love that.
She's filming Firefly Lane there.
Firefly Lane. You'll be able to go to the set, visit her.
She's the best.
She is.
Tell her we sent you.
Aside from you guys, too.
All right. Daniel, you can stay on to the end because I think we're done, my friend. Daniel, tell everyone how we can watch you shake your butt on the pole on Twitch.
Yes, please.
Oh, wait. I think Daniel has an answer.
I just wanted to say I found the article, Purple
the
Penis,
answer?
Why
yeah,
it happens
the tip.
And what to do.
The tip, what do we do? Goobs doesn't
well,
know.
Well, there's a number of possible answers. Sometimes it's simply just increased blood flow to the penis. Sometimes it's a bruise, a hematoma, which is a deep bruise. Blood spots,
bad.
Also known as purpura, can appear purple or red and usually raise against the surface of your skin. Allergic reaction, sexually transmitted infection, lichen. There's a lot of answers.
I think I know what the answer is. It's the first one you said. It's when the phallus is extremely erect and so much blood has gone there that the tip appears discolored.
I think
purple.
Thereby.
And you get vasoconstriction of the veins that prevents the blood flow from leaving the erect penis. So
boom.
That's why
wow.
it gets.
And that's from a real doctor, y'all.
Yeah.
That's from a real doctor.
Real
yeah.
doctor.
What's it called? Vasoconstriction?
Vasoconstriction.
Vasoconstriction.
How's your vasoconstriction, Zach?
Donald, you should use that with your dirty talk with Casey. Be like,
oh, my
girl, I got some vasoconstriction going on, girl.
Okay.
Love vasoconstriction.
I think it's a very.
Zach, I love you. Zach, I love you.
Yeah.
It's a balance between vasodilation and vasoconstriction, to be technical.
What'd you say?
Thank you for that.
it's a balance between vasodilation and vasoconstriction.
Yeah, you need to Casey, you like Casey? Do you there. Want it? You want it dilated? Or,
oh Casey, my. Zach, want, I love you.
Do you want some vasodilation?
You want it dilated today, baby?
Oh my word!
Anyway,
Dana, where do we watch you on Twitch? Twerk can, for money.
You can watch me twerk for money
vasodilation.
Yeah, I'm going to get vasodilated.
Oh, boy. On twitch.tv/DJ_Danil, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
Okay, what game will you be will you be playing?
On
there?
Wednesday night, I will be playing D&D, and then I will be twerking for you two.
Okay.
No, I want you to twerk during D&D.
I'm going
to
take you private. Okay. I'm going to take you private and watch you play Tetris while I get dilated. We need to end the show. We love you all. Sorry we're a little fucking nuts today. We love you. 5, 6, 7, 8
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of